Hey everyone, thanks for joining us. I'm doing these interviews with YouTubers are pretty much doing the same thing as me. So today we've got Joey from Joey Retro Handouts. He's doing some interesting stuff. So I'm sure the guys who've tuned in know what he's been up to. We're both kind of very similar from different sides of the same coin. So it'll be interesting to see what we have to say today. Cool. Hey Joey, I don't know if you want to sort of introduce yourself, if you have a few things you want to say before we start.
Sure, yeah. If you haven't heard of me, Joey's Retro Handhelds, and I do a lot of what Aiden does, same thing, setup guides, emulation tutorials, reviewing retro handhelds, all that fun stuff. So yeah, we definitely play in the same space, but the one thing that I've kind of come to notice about everybody in our space is it's collaborative instead of everybody at each other's throats, which is fantastic. So
exactly.
That's me in a nutshell.
I realize that you and I are the ultimate guide, guys. We've both, I just know our titles for our guides are the ultimate guide to this, the ultimate guide to that. And I realize we both have been doing that. I don't know if it was accidental or if we accidentally saw each other's titles or what happened, but we've definitely been doing the same thing.
I had no idea. I didn't even think about that. I picked it because I'm like, usually when people are searching for things and they see ultimate guide, they're like, yeah, I want that one. And so you have to play that YouTube algorithm game a little bit.
Exactly.
But, I just kept rolling with it because it worked.
Yeah, but that is like when I think of a title, I try to think of something punchy, and I've been watching a few guys that do YouTube sort of analytics and all that. And, you know, instead of saying best, say ultimate, or instead of saying broken, say exploded, or whatever, like use sort of extreme language. And it does work. I mean, my ultimate RG35XX guide is my best performing video. Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's because of the word ultimate, but it has done very well.
Yeah, I saw. I was looking at it the other day. But yeah, I mean, I can't use emulation beast because ETA Prime took that one. So we have to come up with other words like ultimate and anything else that'll pop up.
Well, yeah, I feel like I'm starting to think that we need to sort of, us guys or sort of 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 subscribers, we need to start like riding off the coattails of those guys because, yeah, I mean, they've kind of been the trailblazers and now they've left this path for us to follow. So I don't think there's any shame in copying them and learning from them. Because like creativity is basically copying and then putting your own spin on it, you know?
Yeah. What I found to work for me is I look at other videos that are not in our niche and like just random throughout YouTube. Like yesterday I went down the rabbit hole of a camera because I wanted to upgrade my camera. Okay. And yeah, I'm watching all these creators for cameras and seeing what they're doing on reviewing cameras and all that. And I'm like, I could take that and I like that. And then you just kind of add it on to what you do. But yeah, I mean, there's only so many ways you can review a handheld between everybody looking similar, but it's the shot, it's the content, all of that is the difference, I think. But yeah, definitely, there's a lot to learn from a lot of different people.
Yes, and I mean, that brings me on to one of my questions is, so I discussed this with Retro Breeze. Him and I did a video on the X28, and I think it's the only video we agree on. Like every single device that I've watched of his and me, we basically, you know, for instance, if I say the joysticks are great, he'll be like, they're absolutely the worst joysticks ever. And I'll be like, it's a terrible D-pad. And he'll be like, this is the nicest D-pad I've ever used. So, you know, I mean, obviously there's a middle ground and, you know, at some point somebody's wrong. But I do think it's nice that guys can find content creators that they can relate to. So for instance, I'll find people who go, you know, I've been looking everywhere and you made the point that I was looking for. And it's because we're all looking at it from a different perspective and a different requirement, a different use case, you know? So I'm a bit more of I'm not the sort of extreme gamer type. And so that's the mindset I come to this with. And so I have and I'm a bit older. So that brings a whole different sort of flavor to it, you know? And it's the same with your videos, watching your videos, we bring a different flavor to it. And I think that's what makes it nice.
Yeah. One of the things that when I first started reviewing or jumping in, and it wasn't even that long ago now, it was more of I realized that a lot of people were really positive on a lot of devices. And it's like, there's a lot of negatives in certain devices. Like I've been reviewing PowKitty devices now, and I still haven't found one I like, but it's whenever I do those reviews and I'm like, this is like, these things are deal breakers. And it's really an issue. And so I don't like being kind of overly positive on everything. And I know why people do it. It's better for the algorithm. Yeah. It's better for all that sort of thing. But I like to come in from a more kind of critical view of it and say, like, yeah, there's a lot good about this device, but here's the real big deal breakers and why I really don't see why you would buy it. And we're going to disagree. So now, because I know you have this with Retrobreeze, so we're going to disagree on the X55 for PowKitty, because I just reviewed that one. And I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know what it is about this device that are, that people like it. But it's an example, right? Like, it's just because then Russ from Retro Game Core will say that it's the best device under $90. And we all have these different kind of opinions. And people that are watching our content will kind of gravitate to whoever has the opinions that kind of match their own and kind of follow them that way. But yeah, I kind of took the approach of like, I just need to be critical about these devices because it seems to be a space that not a lot of people are really going like hard in on, like, why are we still doing this? Like, why do we have such bad D-pads after years of being a manufacturer? Yeah. Like, things like that is just kind of adds up.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there also, there's been a bit of a, like, for instance, when I started with this, I was new to it and fresh to a lot of the concepts. And so when I started making videos, everything was just amazing. And I know, for instance, with like Retro Game Core with Russ, like, I know he really blew up in the beginning and he was in that stage where everything was just incredible. And then I remember there was a point where he was like, everyone's telling me I just love everything, so I'm going to point out the bad things in this device. And I can't remember where it was, because I mean, I pretty much watched everything of Russ's up until sort of the end of last year. Yeah, so I think there was just that, you know? And so maybe all of us are starting to realize that and go, okay, well, there's a bit of space now for us to go, let's be a bit more critical. I don't know, maybe that's what it is. Because I feel the same thing is happening with Retrobreeze. Like, he's feeling like, okay, I think I need to bring a bit more criticism to the space.
Yeah, and maybe that's it. There's a lot of devices out there and not all of them are worth your money, and especially with kind of how things are going in the world, like, you have to be a bit more conscious with what you're spending money on. And people who are tuning into us are like, I want to hear what their thoughts are, because we have a lot of handhelds and they can give a good kind of idea of what's worth your money, what isn't worth your money. And so that's kind of the approach that I like to take, because I mean, probably like you, a lot of the devices that I get, I'm still purchasing with my own money. I still get some for review, but a lot of them I'm buying on my end. So like when I buy the Retroid Pocket 3 Metal Edition and I don't like it, it's like a big bummer. So like I feel like I'm somebody that who had just purchased it and doesn't like it. And so that's how I take the review on of doing that review in that way, where I think when you get review units a lot of the times and you kind of get disconnected from having to spend your own money for something, it's a bit different of a feeling, right? And so I try and capture that a little bit, but no, like you, I came into this with zero DaVinci Resolve experience, zero filmmaking experience, zero anything. Like I've been using my phone to do all of my videos. That's all I've been using. And then I bought like lights and all that.
Yeah, it's only going to get better as you progress. But at the end of the day, like, it's about the message and the content. So like the cameras are secondary, really. Like I just have a passion for filmmaking. It's what I do in my for my business. So it just spills over to this. But like really, I could just get a Canon M50, just a basic camera, and just go for it. And it wouldn't be any different. Like, for instance, right now, I'm filming on a cinema camera on raw video, which is just ridiculous. Just because I love it.
But like I said before, your content is unique. Like, I know when I'm watching an Aiden video, because there's like your whole cinematic, your whole like thing. Like, you have the color grading down, you have everything down. And it's like, man, I wish I could get to that consistency, because every video you open is like, it's you, like it's all you.
Cool.
And that's awesome to see.
Thanks for that feedback. That actually feels great, because today I was thinking to myself, I haven't built a brand. I need to build more of a brand, because I've been watching some like Mr. Beast and a few other guys that are big, and they're all like, they've built an awareness of what they look like as soon as you see the thumbnail. So I appreciate that. Thanks.
That's a tough one. I'm still struggling with that too, but yeah, no, definitely. I like your videos have, like, even your intro, like, it's just, there's the consistency there that I'm trying to get to. And it's awesome to see that you have that down pat, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, like with you, I think your logo is very strong, and your sort of brand package that you've put together is pretty strong. So I mean, that's definitely working for you. Where, like you say, you're filming with the phone, and that is what you're doing. But I definitely know it's you as soon as I'm there, because of the brand awareness of the blue and the little logo you've made. It all definitely builds on the thing.
Thanks. Well, we'll see. I have a new camera coming today, so we'll see how that goes. It's the Sony ZV-E10, which is like I think everybody has one. So
yes, I think Retro Breeze is getting one as well. Yeah.
Oh, is he? Okay, I'll reach out to him because.
Yes. Yeah. You must message him and ask him. I wanted to talk about that now because, like, I think we're just chatting about YouTube, but I think guys who are going to tune in now will be interested in knowing our process, because I thought of this today. So the one problem with receiving devices for free, and that this is where I had a criticism of guys getting too critical at one the other day. I don't know what sort of content I think it was more general tech that I was watching, and how guys get a little bit, like, they get so used to getting high-end tech and then forget that, you know, the lowly Miu Mini Plus is still a wonderful device, you know, and they get so super critical. Yeah. It's so small and plasticky, and what a piece of trash, you know. But the opposite of that is also true. So I realized today I got a device that I got for free and I didn't have the buyer's experience. And so I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like as my channel grows, I feel like I'm going to be purchasing more of my devices, I'm going to be quite reluctant to get into any, firstly, brand deals, and then just getting devices for free, because I feel like it stops me from being a good tech reviewer. I don't know how you feel about it.
It's a good question, because it goes back to what I was saying earlier about when you get the devices for free, you do kind of get taken out from that buyer's experience of you didn't physically hand that money. So you lose yes. that sort of feeling, I guess, of what it is. I think it all depends on if you can throw yourself in that mindset afterwards and just assume that, hey, you know what, I paid money for this. I'm going to review it as if I paid money for it. And it might be tough for everybody to kind of do that, but that's how I try and do it for the devices that I've received for free, like for review. Mm. 'Cause it's like the Pow Kitty, for example, the X55, if I would have paid for that, I wouldn't have been happy. And so that's how I took that review of and kind of made it my own. It is definitely something that as you go along, it's going to be something to think about. And I think in this space specifically, the one, you see this a lot with the iNeo devices, as well as like the GPD Win4s and the higher end kind of Windows devices, because you're like, man, a lot of these guys are saying this is the best device, this is fantastic, all of that. Mm-hmm. But it's $1,000 US, it's shipping from China, it has no support for warranty, all of these sort of things that, like, if you were in a reviewer, would you have bought this? And my answer is probably going to be no, because I'm not buying it. Like, I have a GPD Win4 coming now that I got used, but that was, but even that, I'm biting my nails of like, hey, if something goes wrong, I'm in trouble. Like, this thing's a lot of money. I definitely have that sort of feeling as well. And it's just, I think, maybe putting yourself in that space so that you can get around it. But the budget devices have been fantastic this year. Like the Retro Pocket 2S, the Miu, the RG35XX, like we're eating well when it comes to budget handhelds right now. So it's been good to see.
I'm thinking about revisiting the RG35XX just because it has progressed so well. And I need to make a video about the 353VS, which is getting old now already. So I thought of comparing it to the RG35XX and see, you know, kind of give a bit of advice on, you know, is it worth even spending that money when the RG35XX is so good? And yeah, so anyway, what I wanted to say was, so for example, I've got these two devices in front of me and I'm about to launch a video on it, and it's the RG405M and then the Retroid Pocket 3 Plus Metal version. And I reached that point where I thought to myself, because I've kind of made my mind up that I'm gonna wait a while till I go onto the high-end devices, sort of the $250 plus devices. So I'm gonna stick around the sub $250 bracket for a while. And I thought to myself, you know, getting this to South Africa, it's almost $250 for one of these devices. It's about $230 with shipping, because it's $50 for shipping.
Jeez.
So, like I made the videos and I thought to myself, and I said in the video, I've got to be way more critical of these devices because these companies are asking a lot of money and you're reaching sort of AYN Odin light bracket of pricing for a device that's less powerful. It's you paying for the nice metal, you know? And so I was quite critical, like, cause I think everyone raved about the RG405M and I kind of said, I don't like it. I do like, but anyway, just on that note, you know, I think Go Game Geek gave me this and that's why it took so long to make the video because I was so scared to make the video because the more I used it, the more I was like, I don't know if it's worth the money, you know? So anyway, I've just decided I don't care. If they never send me a device again, oh well.
So that's the one thing with any devices I get for review, like I'm very straight up, hey, you're sending me this, but whatever I say about it, this is like, you're not getting access to the video ahead of time. You're not going to know my opinions. Like all of that stuff is my own. And so if that ends up being a scenario where they don't send me devices in the future, then for me, nothing changes because I'll just go back to where I used to be and I'll just buy them. Like it's the same sort of scenario. So I for that part, I don't mind. I love my 405M. So we're gonna have different opinions on that one. But that's what's awesome about this, right?
We have an argument on our hands.
But that's what's awesome about this is you have your opinions, you have my opinions, and then people can go and watch and kind of take them from both.
And compare.
Exactly. And see what people are saying. And it's definitely something that you have to be cognizant about. But as long as I think you have integrity in what you're doing with the review and you're not just taking a device so that you can give it a positive review, like that's where you lose me and I'm not about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, as long as you can kind of have that and I think you do, I think Shem does, like a lot of reviewers do. I can't really name one that I think maybe doesn't do that, but yeah. So that's kind of the way I look at it at least.
Yeah. I find Shem from Retro Breeze kind of hilarious because he just loves to get into like a fat moan about a device, and I just love it. Like we joke each other on Twitter quite a bit. Yes, I love it. I absolutely love it. Like, and he even said he kind of might have fueled the flame on a couple of devices over the last couple of years, but oh well. Yeah, so I wanted to just shift gears now because we've been like ranting about YouTube. I don't know how many people actually going to be interested in that.
Yeah, the behind the scenes stuff is sometimes fun, but yeah.
What I wanted to ask you is how you sort of entered this niche. I think everyone got into it watching Russ, I'm sure, but like I have a bit of like a little retro gaming origin story, you know, like where the passion began and all that. So how did you get into all this?
Yeah, this one might be a little weird for people. So, I've been in games for a long, long time. Like, obviously, I think like most of us, I've played all these games and I've been continuing playing them. But then I got into the retro handheld space with the RG353V, which was the vertical and with the sticks, and that was my first handheld. And I'm like, this is pretty good. And I went to go look at reviews and I'm looking at reviews and what I was doing with the device was different than what the reviews were saying. And it was like one example, like a quick example was people were showing game streaming on it and they were showing the native xCloud app. And I'm like, why are you using that? The other xCloud or the other Xbox app works and the triggers work and all of that. And so it kind of led me down a rabbit hole of like I'm not too happy with the information I'm getting. And I feel like I could add something to this space by going a bit deeper. So that's when I made my very first video of the RG353V, which I don't remember how long it took me, but it was a disaster. It took so long. And then it just kept spiraling from there. And I'm like, I like this device a little bit. I don't like the sticks. And I kept making videos. And then I'm like, oh, look at the RG405M. I want that. And then that launched me. Like that specific device is what launched my whole channel because I have setup guides on it. I have emulation showcases on it. Like I did a whole lot of the videos on it. So what got me in was the RG353V for whatever reason. And then I just kept seeing devices like everybody else does and just kept going and going and going. But I mean, the games, I love having these different ways to play games and these devices that before joining the space, I thought they were just kind of no name, cheap brands, like nothing there. And then you get here and you're like, no, these are actually really good devices. A lot of them are well made. A lot of them are really, really good. And it just becomes a daily thing. So, I jumped in because I saw a kind of an area that I thought could use what I had to say, and it ended up working out, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, like my channel already had subscribers when I started. I think I was about 4.5. So my channel's probably growing slower than most, I would say. But you're doing really well. I got into it by, I bought a junk, well, it was a clone of the Famicom, and that's what I had as a kid.
Okay.
So I was really excited about this Father's Day gift, and it took the cartridges, so I thought I could start collecting cartridges. And then it broke because they shipped it from China with the wrong power supply. So it burnt out the CPU, which was just silly. So I didn't have this thing and I was quite upset. And then I realized all the stuff at the China mall was like really cheap junk. And then I went online and I found Anbanic. So I got myself an RG350M. And for me, I could never afford all these devices that everyone so loves. Like the PSP was huge in South Africa. Could never afford it. In the 80s, like a few of my sort of like wealthy friends had a Game Boy, and I just remember like all I wanted was a Game Boy. And so like for me, the Miu Mini Plus, I love this thing because it kind of feels like a Game Boy. And then I just put like a greed filter on the Game Boy games, and it just, the nostalgia is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the Miu Mini and RG35XX are awesome. But yeah, growing up I had most of the Game Boys, I'm pretty sure, I think probably all of them, but PSP I never got into, the Vita I never got into, the Game Gear, like all that sort of thing are things that I missed. But Game Boys, all the Nintendo kind of handhelds, 100%. And so having a way to play those nowadays with save states and not having to worry about all the other things that come with like a old retro handheld, like, I love it all. Like, it's fantastic.
Mm. Well, interesting fact is that, so like in the States and Canada, Nintendo, and then obviously China, I'm guessing, in Japan, but Nintendo was huge. But in the outlying areas, I started to go down this rabbit hole because an Icelandic friend of mine said to me, you know that in outlying areas, Sony has always been king, even in handhelds. And then I kind of looked it up and I realized, like, here in South Africa, like, I don't remember the 2DS. I don't remember the 3DS. I remember the DS Lite. That's the only Nintendo handle I remember after the Game Boy. But PSP was massive here. So for whatever reason, like import embargoes or whatever, I don't know. But that was massive here.
I just picked one up a few months back, and I was going to do a whole video and thing on it, but then I got caught up with other things, and I got to go back to it. But I got it from Amazon Japan. It was $100 Canadian, so it wasn't too expensive. But I want to see what I missed. Like I've had the Vita like 4 times, but the PSP is one that I've never had, and so I want to see what that actually looks like. So I'll get back around to it at some point. But it's a comfortable little device for sure.
It is cool. Yeah, hit us up in the, like, if you're watching this, just let us know in the comments, because I'm keen of keep jumping back and forth whether I keep on seeing on Facebook Marketplace, like, retro gaming handhelds. Like, I saw a 3DS the other day for a really good price, but I'm not sure if it's worth making videos on that stuff, just because, like, I'll just pick up my X28s and do everything that those things do. So I don't know. I'm kind of in two minds about it.
Yeah, the usual one is you have to have an approach, right? Like, for my approach would be, I've never had a PSP, so I could do a video on, like, what's my experience with the PSP? A lot of what people do is the PSP worth it in 2023? Like, that sort of thing. And you go down that YouTube thumbnail or rabbit hole a little bit. But I think Taki already did that for this year. But either way, I mean, whatever your kind of approach is to it, I think that's what you need. Like, every video has to have some sort of a story, and you're telling a story. And so you're taking it from that approach of what can I bring to this device? Like, what's uniquely me about this video and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I feel like I should do a vlog about buying a Game Boy and then tell the sad story about a South African boy who could never play Game Boy. And then I finally, at the age of 43, get a Game Boy.
I mean, hey, it's unique, right? It's to you. So yeah, you never know if something will work to try it. And you learn that a lot doing YouTube for sure.
So what are your favorite handhelds right now? Like retro gaming, you know, Anbanic, Parkity, those things. What are your favorite devices right now?
So I have them right next to me. So I'll say I made a video on the 35XX and the Miu Mini Plus. And in that video, I said I liked the 35XX better. Yes. And then a few weeks ago, I was just sitting there and I'm like, I like retro achievements and I want to play some Game Boy and Game Boy Color games. And I reached for the Miu Mini Plus and I haven't looked back. So I might have to update that one. But yeah, so definitely Miu Mini Plus, 100%. And I use this specifically only for Game Boy, Game Boy Color games. Cool. And then recently, I was able to pick up the 351P. This thing is awesome. So I only use it for Boy Advance. And
yes,
for Game Boy Advance, it's been perfect. And I've been playing this, I think, every day since I got it. And I can't stop. Like, it's just, I put the Wi-Fi chip in, so I soldered it in, and it's on the back all that sort of thing. Yeah, it was my first soldering job, and I decided to use it for putting Wi-Fi. But I love that thing. Cool. And then
it's a great piece of hardware, don't you think? Don't you think it's masterfully crafted? It's just so well made.
Oh no, this is so comfortable. Like, it's the feeling, the size, all of it. Like, I'm impressed. Like, I wish that more devices were like this. Cause they all try and reinvent the wheel when you could just do this. Like, this is perfect. Like, you have the grips, you have the comfort.
I know a company that keeps reinventing the wheel and it drives me nuts.
I haven't had one of those yet. I haven't tried one of those.
The X28.
Yeah. No, I haven't gotten one of those.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if you'll like it. I like it. Me and Shim, it's our favorite device right now.
I think so. Yeah. I have a problem with bigger devices. I like the smaller ones. And as soon as you go bigger, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to pull out the ROG Ally or like a Steam Deck or something like that. But
that's why you don't like the X55.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same thing. But so yeah, ROG Ally, obviously I've been playing that, and I have a GPD Win 4 coming, which is supposed to come today, but we'll see. But besides those, when we come to retro handhelds, the other two that I actually play a lot is the, and you don't like this one, but it's the 405M, of course, because I love it.
I think it's a beautiful device.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Watch my video coming out this weekend. This video is going to come out after
watch this. His video, yes. I love this thing. And then the PS, and I wish that they could combine into one, because if this had a T618 chip, it would be my only device. Mm-hmm. That would be it.
Really?
I love this thing. But and that's my four handhelds besides a Windows handheld.
Yeah, I never bought the PS.
I love the PS. It's so comfortable. This is like peak comfort for me. Just the ergonomics, everything.
Yeah, I wonder, do you think the P is overpriced?
Now, yes. Yeah, I think it is now.
Yeah, because I really like it. I was going to make a video about it being the most underrated device of 2022, and things just got away from me, and now it's still sitting on my shelf. I made a few stories, shorts on YouTube, but I haven't really, I don't know. Don't know if it's worth making a video about this now. Let me know in the comments if there's something you want to know.
I've come this close to buying that one for the SNES look and for the extra RAM and all that. But I think I'm just going to wait, because I think Ambernick will probably do a T618 version, and I'll pick that one up.
Yeah, that'll be your ultimate device, won't it?
Yeah. All these devices blend together at some point. They're all just
morph into one.
If I had to pick one, I'd probably go with the 405M. That's been my standout this year. I love that device.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I'm picking up a trend. I think you prefer more compact devices.
Yeah, 100%. I love having the kind of portable, pocketable, smaller devices. That's my thing.
Cool. So our next video together will be arguing about big versus small devices.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just love a big screen, man. I just dig it.
I still can't get over it, because as soon as I go something bigger than that can fit in my sling bag, I have to just go with the best device I can get, and that's like the ROG or Steam Deck or the GPD or something along those lines. But that's a problem I have to get over, I think.
No, I think it's a perspective you have. And I'm pretty sure I've had comments where people come from that line of thought, you know, like, well, you know, if you're going to get such a big device and it is that price, I may as well just save and get this. And I'm like, well, yeah, that makes sense. You're not wrong. You
know? I might as well just save 10 times the amount and go buy an ROG Ally. But yeah, that's just my thing. I like the small, pocketable, portable devices. They're awesome.
Cool. So what do you do during the day? Are you full-time YouTube now?
As of 3 or so weeks ago, yeah, now I am. Probably why you've seen a lot more devices or a lot of more videos come out from me.
That's why I can't keep up with you. You did your Android thing, and I was like, I've been meaning to do that. And your video is just so good that I'm like, oh, I'm not even gonna bother now.
Thanks. I have that issue with Russ because I'm like, I was out on the weekend.
I hate that. Yes.
2 weeks ago or something. I was out. We went to Edmonton, and I was like, you know what I want to do a video on? I want to do a video on the Mew Mini Plus trading Pokemon with another Mew Mini Plus, the whole Pokemon trading thing. And I'm like, I'm going to do this video as soon as we get back and all of that sort of thing. And then this was Saturday, and then Sunday happens and I see Russ's video and I'm like, all right. Sure, thanks, Russ. But I'm like, I like that because I know I'm on the right track. I know that I was going to make a video that was going to resonate with people, and then Russ got to it first. But for me, it's like, okay, I'm thinking the right way. Like, I know what I'm doing. But it sucks because, you have to keep up.
No, so like, I've been doing YouTube for a while, like, kind of just messing around. And, to be honest, like, I just have focus issues, and so I've been like chopping around. So this is the first time that I've niched down and I'm actually doing well, you know. And the trend I have always seen is guys who do well, they start out meaningful and then they kind of just lose the plots, and they don't get lazy, they just lose focus. And so I was like, this is a great niche to get into, because there's one big guy, Russ from Retro Game Core. He's going to get to 300,000 subscribers, and he's kind of going to just start doing all sorts of weird things. And the opposite is true. He's getting more and more focused. He's getting better at his craft. It's actually quite inspiring.
He's definitely, I think everybody's probably started watching, looking at his videos and all that. And it's inspiring that way. Like, he hasn't changed focus. He hasn't changed who he is. He hasn't changed any of that throughout all of his videos. And, it's definitely good to see. And what's awesome too, is if you go and look back at his very first videos and just see how he started and all of those, you can see a line of how he got better at it. It's cool to see. But definitely, it's definitely a niche that has room to grow, and we're growing quite big. And there's room enough for, I think, more than one person at that stage as well. Because right now it's kind of ETA in a little bit, but he does other things, and you have Taki, and then you have Russ, and then there's a big gap after that. And I think there's a lot of room for more people to just come up. And it's been good to see everybody kind of growing.
Yeah, I'm trying to find my voice, so I'm testing a few things out. So, like, viewers can kind of give me some inputs on that. And the videos that have done the best are the sort of things that you've been recently releasing lately, like my Ultimate RG35XX setup guide. And then I went too all in on the, when I got my Retro Pocket 3 Plus, I was super excited. Like, I really like this device. Yeah. And so I went too deep down the rabbit hole. So that video, I was like, leave no stone unturned. So whenever I saw a question, I was like, I will answer this in the video. And so I made like an hour and a half video explaining everything, setting up Android, setting up Retro Archer. It was too extreme. And then now I'm guiding up. I just point people to that because that is my sort of ultimate Android setup guide. But I just went too deep on the Retro Pocket 3 Plus. But I don't know. I feel like I am quite expressive. So I feel like I need to lean into that somehow. So I feel like I'm somewhere between, I've been watching a little bit of Bob from Wolf Den. And I feel like I'm somewhere between him and Russ, you know, sort of like a little bit cocky and like, you know, brash. And then I like the nerdy stuff as well. So I need to find my voice, and I haven't quite done that yet.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Like it's YouTube especially, like trying to differentiate from even other YouTubers from different niches and then in your own niche and all that. Like it's not easy to do that. But I think if you make the videos that you want and that you like and all that, at some point you'll find your audience and that'll grow. That's my firm belief is I'm going to continue making videos the way that I want to do them. And I'll say Mario as in Mario sometimes and people laugh at me because I say Mario instead of Mario and I'll have my little quirks and all that, but like that's just me and people will gravitate towards that or they won't and we'll see how that goes. But at the end of the day, I want to look back and say, hey, I made that video and I liked that video and other people ended up liking it too, but that's kind of how I want to do it.
Yeah, but that you know, it's like you talk about the like pronunciation stuff. I mean, I'm South African, and most of my view, actually, funny enough, it's America and Philippines. Weirdly enough, I'm not sure where the Philippines fall in, but I don't know if there's a lot of English people there, or because I doubt they. Anyway, so those are my two main viewers, and I don't get a lot of people commenting on my accents. Every now and again, I'll get some South African living in America going, hey, South African, yay, and that's all I get. I never get people saying, oh, he says y'all or something, you know, it's a testament to the community, I think, okay?
I get it. I don't think it's one every video, but I got it for the Mario Mario thing. I've gotten it for, and I still can't remember how to say this, but executable or like an EXE on Windows. I've said that wrong in the past, and even my wife makes fun of me for that one. But like
I don't know how to say it either, man. An EXE file. I've never said the whole word.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to file. Just say EXE executable going forward because it saves me a lot of headache.
I don't know.
Exactly. I've never said it before, and then in a video I said it multiple times and end up getting crucified for.
And then you just got slammed. But I do feel like the Americans love to criticize Canadians.
Probably.
It's a thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Cause I mean, I've watched, like I said, before we started, I've watched a lot of Canadian YouTubers and they just get a lot of flack from Americans for saying things slightly differently. And I'm like, crap, if I start a YouTube channel, the Americans are going to slaughter me, and they haven't. So they obviously just have an issue with you guys.
Yeah. You're lucky. They keep coming after us Canadians and we have to duck and hide. But yeah. And actually the one blunder I did was my very first video. I said retro game corpse. Cause I had never, don't know why I even said it that way, but it's retro game core, of course. And for some reason I said it retro
don't
game
speak
corpse.
Against the great Russ.
And then I got the Russ, the Russ army in my comments. It's retro game corpse, or retro game core. And dude, but yeah, you live and learn. Certain things I'm just never going to be able to do.
Who cares, man? Who cares? Like, I remember watching a video and Russ was like, I say retro arc, it's wrong, but I'm just going to keep saying it. So I was like, no, well.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we have our own little quirks in the way we say things, and I can't keep correcting every single thing. It's tough. I'm going to miss it a lot of times, and I roll with it at that point. It's fine.
Cool, Joey. That's been really cool chatting. It's like the main reason I think it's mostly selfish reasons. I feel like I just want to feel connected to this community and just pick your brain a little bit, hear what you're up to. And like from my side, you're crushing it, man. Like your videos Thanks. Are doing really well. And it is definitely from an analytical point of view, giving me a data point to know like those deep dive videos really do work, you know? And like, I think your channel specifically is testament to that because like you say, what did you say? Like 3 weeks ago, you went full time and you're putting effort into all these tutorials and that, and it's really, really paying off.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been a fun 4 months, I guess. I started in April.
4 months.
April
2nd
was my first video. So yeah, it's been I've learned a lot, like learning how to film all of it, editing all of it. It's so daunting, but it's been fun. Like you put something new in every video and you keep going and I've been enjoying it. And I love seeing your stuff. Like I love your shots. I love your takes. I love your content too. So I hope that you continue doing it. And I hope that you find whatever like you're specifically liking to do. Like because I know you're trying to figure it out, but whatever you settle on, like I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Cool. Thanks, Jerry. Cool, man. Thanks. And thanks for everyone for watching. We'll see you in the next one.